Well, I do thank God for you being here today in the Lord's house and celebrating what this day means to us as believers specifically. It means a lot of different things to the world. But the true meaning of what we do today, that belongs to God's people. Amen. And for sake of time, I'm just going to read some scriptures I found in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26, and it is there that our Lord, beginning in verse 20, had begun to celebrate the Passover to eat the Passover. With his disciples. And in verse 26 of Matthew 26, let me get this. Verse 26 of Matthew 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, when our Lord took the bread and the cup, he was in essence, he was telling them what was going to happen to him. That was a picture of his body. He said, "This bread, this is my body. This wine in this cup, this is my blood, which is shed." And we know on over in Matthew 28, we see after the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and the angel saying, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now is the New Testament, are you listening to me? It is in full effect. The testator is dead, but 3 days later, in great power, there's never been a testament like the New Testament of our Lord and Savior. Why? Because the dead testator rose again from the dead. Amen. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection, the Bible said. And so that's what this day is all about. It is about the rising from the dead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is also about him giving his body and his blood for the sacrifice. Amen. I thought about the cup. I thought about the blood in the cup, the wine in the cup. And he said, "This is my blood." And he put it in that cup. Now, I just begin to think about the Old Testament. I begin to think about pictures that God began to reveal to me in the Old Testament. showing this revelation of Christ and His body being broken and His blood being shed and all that's tied into it. And when you read about God's judgment and wrath, sometimes it's referred to as a cup. The cup of His wrath. Are you listening to me? A cup of judgment. And when I saw that, I realized that the blood of Christ filled that cup. Amen? Of God's wrath. It has been satisfied only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is fully satisfied. I'm glad that the Lord's blood has fully satisfied the judgment of God's wrath. It's the only thing that'll give remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, that cup of blood, amen, there is no remission of sin. So when you look at that and when you see that, Jesus told His disciples, this is My blood of the new covenant, of the New Testament. That blood that He shed on Calvary, just hours, it wasn't long after that He made this statement that His blood would begin coming out of His body. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember when He had prayed and His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. What about that? I thank God for the blood of the Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb. Brother Brandon was talking about those red heifers that they're trying to get over there in Israel. And I think he said they had five or six of them. And they had to be without blemish. Well, that was the way the Lamb was. It had to be without blemish. And if he's the slightest blemish at all, see, that's a picture of sin. That's a picture of corruption. It's either pure. Listen, you've got to know what purity means. Real purity. Some people may think purity is almost. Are you listening to me? But I mean, if something is going to be pure, it has to be whole. The every part, the every whit. Amen. Not one place, not one blemish, not one scar, and Christ, not one sin. Amen. Not one thought, not anything. Amen. He was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. He gave Himself for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I think one of the first pictures that you see in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. You see where Cain murdered his younger brother, the good shepherd. That's what Abel was. He was a good shepherd. And that was a picture of one dying at the hand of another. Amen? One that came short and his offering came far short. Amen? And his heart full of hate and murder that he would, it was his sin that caused the good shepherd Abel, amen, to be murdered. And God cried and said, what hast thou done? And here's what he said. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out from the ground. What did he mean there? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out from the ground. Well, you've got to go into Hebrews 12:24 to know. The Bible said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, what that verse is talking about initially is that Abel's blood was crying out, even though he was murdered by the hand of his brother Cain. He was a good shepherd. He was a good brother. His blood was crying out, grace! Grace! And the blood of Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 12, listen, that blood of sprinkling, Christ's blood, speaketh better things, even more grace, amen, than that of Abel's blood. There is no blood like the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, it turned a throne of judgment into a throne of grace. It is a mercy seat, not a judgment seat. Amen. For all who come. For all who come. It is a mercy seat. The mercy seat of Christ. Amen. Why? Because of his blood that cries out, grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What do you think is talking? Why do you think that God put his son and his son's blood in the same context as what he said that speaketh better things than that of Abel? And God said, your brother's blood crieth out. That's when it was speaking. That's when Abel's blood was speaking, crying out. And it had to be, because it was a picture of Christ, it had to be crying out, grace! It's a wonder God didn't kill Cain and put him in hell right then. You know that? He was judged and sent out. I'm not saying that Cain could have turned. He could have, don't you think? If he would have repented, got a sacrifice, he could have. He could have. God even told him before he went out. Sin lieth at the door. Think about that. And then in Genesis 14:8, there's a picture. It's the story of Abraham when he went out to battle against Chedorlaomer. And all those kings, king of Sodom and all of them. But he gained victory over Chedorlaomer. And the Bible said that King Melchizedek, he was the priest of the Most High God. He brought Abraham. What do you think he brought him? Bread and wine. That's what he brought him. He brought him bread and wine. And he came. That same Melchizedek, the Bible said, who has no beginning, no end, brings that bread and wine to celebrate Abraham's victory over his enemy. The King of Righteousness brought, that's what he was, that's what his name meant. The King of Righteousness brought bread and wine from the city of peace to celebrate victory with Abraham. Amen. When I look at this today, that's what I see. The King of Righteousness bringing peace from the city of peace for you and I. Amen. Why? Because he has put all enemies under his feet. Glory to his name. The victory in what our Lord has secured in his body, in his death, in giving of his blood. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. when you see those pictures, when you see the Lord instituting that, it was totally separate from the Passover. They had begun to eat the Passover, and that was a picture. It was the blood of that lamb that was given, and that was all that the angel of death was looking for that night, was that blood. That was the blood that stayed the judgment of God from them. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." More powerful. You talk about blood over the years and a ritual and a sacrifice to innocent for the guilty. Those lambs and those bullocks that had been slain for thousands of years. Are you listening to me? And that blood never could do what his blood was fixing to do. And they ate that. They ate that. They ate that lamb over there in at the Passover when they were coming out of Egypt. And that's what Jesus was celebrating with them. We are keeping of God's Passover for the Hebrew people. That God said, "You'll have to have a lamb for a house." And he had them institute that blood had to be put on the doorpost. The death angel would come by, and when he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Amen. It is only by his blood that the death angel will pass over us, that we're saved. They ate that meat that night. Boy, don't you know they fixed some real good lamb in their days. But he said, "This night you're going to eat it with bitter herb. You're not going to enjoy this lamb." That lamb that night, why? Because it was a judged lamb. It was meant to be bitter. It's a picture of the bitter judgment that our Lord took upon himself. Amen? That bitter judgment. Even that hyssop, it was a picture of that bitter judgment that he had to taste. They put it up against his mouth. That one time he tasted it. He had cried, "I thirst," and they brought that nasty sponge, that bitter vinegar and hyssop, and put it up next to his lip. It's too bitter. Our Lord tasted in his body that bitter judgment of God. What a picture. What a picture. And the Lord is showing them now the Passover is past. Now this bread is my body broken. This is my blood given for the remission of sins, for the new covenant. When God instituted that Passover, he told them, "I know what time it is, I'm trying to hurry." He told them, he said, "No stranger shall take the Passover." It wasn't meant for a person who was not of the people of God. But he said, if you do have someone in your house or a stranger comes and abides with you, and it's to take the Passover, he said, they got to be circumcised, and it's as if they were one of you from the beginning. They have to have a conversion. Amen. It's for converted people. That's what it's for. God told them over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and then in chapter 11, he told them, he said that if you take of this unworthily, he used that word. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That was what God said, damnation. in 1 Corinthians 11:23. Here's what Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus," he begins to tell the story, "the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." That's what we've been reading. That's what I've been preaching about. When he took that bread and broke it right after the Passover and said, he break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And when he had given thanks, he break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Don't ever do this unless you do it in remembrance of me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Not his resurrection, but his death. This is the picture of his death. We do show the Lord's death. Then we celebrate his resurrection. Amen. The solemnness of his death, of his body broken, of his blood given. A New Testament, a new covenant. And 3 days later in power, he rose again that you and I could have victory in Jesus. But he said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Listen, only the blood of Jesus makes us worthy. I'm convinced of that. But there is an essence in here. He said, "Examine yourself." I think the teaching of the New Testament is this. As a saved person, if you're truly saved, you can't just live like the world. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You just can't just live in sin and then stroll in and take the Lord's Supper like nothing's wrong. I think that's approaching it in an unworthy way. I really do. But somebody that's saved, that is trying to live for the Lord, listen, at the best we do, we all still confess daily. Need to confess daily. Amen. He that says he has no sin is a liar. He deceives himself. But I'm talking about somebody that claims to be saved and listen, if you've got, you've not done what God would have you to do half of the time. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to be a pastor to you now. I'm trying to help. You know why? Because I don't want some of you to get sick. Some of you to even die. That's what the Lord said. He said down in verse number 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." That's a lost person. Drinking and eating damnation to themselves. Why? It's like, I guess some places would call it sacrilege. You've took something that's the image of his body and his blood, and you've more or less made it like it wasn't nothing. "Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He's talking about are dead. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." That's what we do. We judge ourselves. As Christians, we judge ourselves. I've got something I need to agree with the Lord on. Yes, Lord. This is sin. I need, forgive me of this. Lord, I want you to wash me of this. I want you to cleanse me of this. I want rid of this. I agree with you. This is wrong. It should not be in my life. Judge yourself. Amen. Oh my, when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. The Lord will show us what, if there's something that He wants us to deal with in our life before we take of the Lord's Supper. But I've often warned God's children, listen, if you're God's child and you're doing your best to live for the Lord, listen, don't let Satan put a fear in you of taking the Lord's Supper. Satan has no part in this. Amen. This is between us and the Lord. And really, and what we're doing this in His remembrance. His memory, remembering Him, thanking God for the resurrection that came after, but remembering Him, remembering His body broken. He gave Himself for us. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Read Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. You see the exchange? The worthy for the unworthy. And then the exchange goes, my sin upon Him at the cross, and His blood upon me. Well, now what does His blood make us? Worthy. We can approach God where before we could not approach Him. Now we can approach Him. As God's children, now we can come. Amen. Bless the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You do that examination and you eat of that bread and you drink of that cup. The time we are taking it, we're still in examination. If you're a child of God, you're still in. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that. Paul's encouraging them. Not the ones that know better, know that they have no part. They're not saved. Listen, if you doubt, I'd get that fixed. Get that fixed. Get the doubt behind you. Get that settled. If you know you're lost, you ain't never come to the Lord, don't even come near this. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. It's not up to me. Who takes this and who doesn't? It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Are you saved today? You remember His, even though it was 2,000 years ago, we can remember His death. And remember His blood shed. And we can remember His resurrection. Amen.